Episode 79 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie comes at a perfect time. A 3-2 NBA Finals series lead for the Milwaukee Bucks, none other. With Danny Belsito, I'm Donnie Sherrell, per usual. Danny, what a fantastic night we had last night in the NBA. We're recording on Sunday evening, July 18th. July 17th was a day that Bucks fans will remember forever. But just give me your thoughts as the game progressed. Maybe not in the beginning or end, but kind of in the middle. What were your thoughts during the meat of the sandwich, if you will?
Well, that's a good question, Donnie, and we did not do this on purpose, so the listeners are going to get a chuckle out of this, but it's interesting that it's episode 79, considering that is how many points the Bucks scored in the two middle quarters of Game 5. You talk about what I was thinking as the game developed, the meat of the game, and all I began thinking as I'm watching the game, as it's developing, as Phoenix gets a big lead, as Milwaukee hunts them down. You know, it's funny, right? The Bucks, they're used to getting hunted, and now what are they doing? They're hunting down other teams. I find it interesting, and I tweeted this, and the most impressed game I've ever had with Giannis was last night, because, and people are going to think, and they're going to hear this, and they're going to roll their eyes, and they're going to think, oh, you just wanted to include Bron in this conversation. I promise I mean this with as much genuineness as I possibly can. The more Giannis starts to be efficient, like LeBron, the more Giannis makes it a priority to get his teammates involved like Giannis did, like a Bron did in Miami. That is what I saw. I saw Giannis, who is going through a similar transition to LeBron, right? He was on a team that was not very competitive. He by himself started to bring them into national spotlight prominence. And then it's interesting, right? Giannis didn't have to move to get help. They brought it to him. They did not do that for LeBron. So LeBron had to move. He had to put it upon himself to get help. And now you're seeing what Giannis can do with some pieces around him. He's so intelligent with the ball now. I love those possessions where they give it to him to run point almost. He runs straight to the corner. They're running pick and rolls. They're attacking certain players. They're attacking defensive matchups. And I'm almost secondhand proud of them, because after going down 2-0, all I said and focused on and just doubled down on, Donnie, and you remember this so many times, and you went against me a little bit. When they went down 2-0, the pressure was 100% on them to make adjustments, and that's exactly what they've done. They have been ruthlessly attacking defensive matchups with Chris Paul, with Cam Johnson, who has been a stout defender all year, and his plus-minus has been awful the last few games. They're attacking these plays. They're changing up the rotation. I mean, truly, I'm not even a Bucks fan, and I felt like one watching that game. It was so impressive. And what was the most impressive to me is that it's a team victory. You know me, I'm a Warriors fan through and through. Steph Curry, obviously, been a fan for a very long time. When the Warriors transitioned from Steph's team and other guys to the Warriors, right, the Splash Brothers, the homegrown team, it was so easy to cheer for them. It was so easy to see why they were successful. And they're literally copy and pasting that strategy in Milwaukee with the most dominant player the NBA has seen in two decades. I mean, clearly since Shaq, it's starting to be comparable with Shaq and the stats he's putting up so early in his career. I mean, you can only imagine what's coming. I don't know how else to say it, Donnie. I know I'm gone on a bit of a rampage, and you know, I'm sure the listeners would have expected this to be you going on a little bit more of a rant in the Bucks direction, but I can't help it. I can't help but give the credit. You know, you can say things about me. I love a hot take, but I give credit where it's due. And right now the Bucks look unstoppable. This series is over. I would be gigantically surprised if the Bucks do not win game 6. Imagine how great it would be to win that game at home. There's no way Giannis is going to let them lose. The series is over, and it's because of that game. Granted, I don't want to gloss over Giannis's little bit of tightness at the end of game 5, but that's why you have teammates. That's why you have guys help get you through. That's the importance of a front office who actually cares about keeping their star around. You see too many times front office guys like, we can recreate this another time. We can store for the future. Bucks gambled their future right now, and it's paying off. They are going to win a championship, and they did it because of their performance in game 5. I can't say anything else more than congrats to Bucks Nation. congrats to Bucks Nation. I believe it is over.
Well, I mean, you pretty much just, I don't want to say you stole my thunder. There's plenty of thunder to go around here. I wouldn't go as far as to say the series is over, and here's why. That's exactly what I did in 2019 when they were up 2-0 against Toronto. I learned my lesson, and in this case, it matters even more, so I'm not going to be that guy. I will be the guy to say it's not over until the trophy's in Giannis's hands because, of course, duh. But second, just for peace of mind, because if we have two games that we drop to end the series, I'll be scarred as a Bucks fan. Because you know me, I have a lot of bad luck as a sports fan. A lot of my teams just can't do it. They can't get over the hump. And I've said time and time again, if the Bucks win this finals, I'm probably not going to ask for anything else from any of my sports teams for a guaranteed 5-10 years. I'm just not going to care. I'm going to rock all of the Bucks championship apparel. I'm going to, you know, get all of the AliExpress jerseys of Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Drew Holiday with the NBA Finals patch on it, Bobby Portis. I'm going to get the Bobby shirt. My dad called me this morning, let me just say, and we were talking about it, and he was saying, I need to get me a Bobby shirt. I need to get a Bobby Portis shirt. So, Dad, order two because I need one as well. Order three. Get one for Mom. So my thing is I want to say real quickly, and this is going to be the pretty much the leading thing of my tangent. I have a couple of things I want to get to, but this is the first one. Yes, the Bucks gave up a lot to get Drew Holiday. And yes, he had a couple of Eric Bledsoe-esque performances this playoffs. But when it comes down to it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I said this to start the series. I knew that Chris Paul obviously is probably the best point guard in the NBA as of right now. Let's be honest. He's up there. Yes, for what he's done, I know you're rolling your eyes. For what he's done in this first year, getting to the finals of this team that hasn't ever sniffed the playoffs, you got to go with it. He's in the NBA finals, at least top two, top three point guard in the NBA right now. And Drew Holiday comes into this series, his first ever finals, Chris Paul's first ever finals, but we already knew, oh, it's Chris Paul, it's his 16th season, got it, whatever. I said at the beginning, Chris Paul is going to have a good series, sure. But Drew Holiday, you will see him just absolutely wear Chris Paul down because he literally plays him 94 feet. You can rewatch these games. You can watch game six, courtesy of me and Danny's, you know, advice and say, look, this is what he does. And it's shown. Granted, Chris Paul played solid last night. He had 21-11, shot 9 of 15. But there are certain spots where you just see Drew Holiday wear him down, and he is the engine of that team. Devin Booker, to me, is just the shiny rims. He's the lift kit. He's the nice new paint job. Chris Paul's the engine. If he's not there, it makes it even that much harder on Devin Booker. Not that it hasn't been unbelievably hard. But Drew Holiday deserves a lot of credit. I'll say that. Not to go as far as finals MVP because we know that's going to. Honestly, even if the Suns, well, I guess if you could say the Suns win the series, it goes to Booker. But Drew Holiday, we gave up a lot. Yes. But is it worth it? You bet your you know what that it's worth it because he has been fantastic. 27-13 last night. Could he have been any better? I mean, in a spot where literally we could not have had a more perfectly scripted performance because if he doesn't have, you know, if he has 5-10% off that game, off that stat line, we lose that ball game. Easy.
No, honestly, I don't think he could have been better. And we've talked about it many times on this podcast throughout the whole playoffs, how important he is. And, you know, he plays a style of basketball, especially on the defensive end, that me and you, you know, we make jokes about with the sergeants of the thick boy committees and whatnot with the thicker guards. But that's how Drew Holiday's playing right now. He looks like he's been in the weight room. He looks like he's been doing his laps. He looks like he's been really, really working on his physicality because I think you're spot on. He's wearing down Chris Paul. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it, Donnie. You know me. I hate kicking players when they're down. I hate doing this. But I cannot let fans and listeners let Chris Paul get away with this on behalf of the stat line. I'm tired of that because people love to use this against the players they don't like. And they love to use that for the players that they do like. And I find it interesting, right? Because you look and one stat that you like, I don't necessarily love it, but in certain games, you need to watch out for it, and that's plus minus. I mean, you talk about this stat sometimes, and I roll my eyes and I think, oh, whatever. Who really cares about plus minus? I watch the game, right? You know what I mean? Like sometimes, like sure. It's like plus minus versus eye test. Like that's kind of the battle. And you look through some of the plus minuses in this game. You look at Devin Booker, plus 12. Well, duh, we watched the game. He was crazy impressive. And when he sat down at the beginning of the second quarter, what happened? The Bucks went on a run. They started bullying the Suns. It was crazy. Chris Paul's plus minus, minus 6. And do you know why? It's because he didn't show up until the last 10 minutes of the game. And I see people talking about, man, I saw the stat line that that's what matters. Really? Is that what matters? Because I hear so much crap when it comes to LeBron's empty stat lines, when it comes to Steph Curry's empty stat lines, when he doesn't play defense, and LeBron's when he doesn't attack. Even a guy, and I don't want to bring him up, please don't roast me for this, but a guy like a Draymond Green. Countless times, it's look at his stat line. You do it too.
I thought it was going to be Ben Simmons, and I was going to have to kick you off.
I was going to, but you talk about Draymond Green, and you look at the stat line. If you only paid attention to stat line for Draymond Green, Donnie, and I think you can admit this, you would think he's a terrible player.
Sure.
And Draymond Green is so far from a terrible player. So when we're using it to critique players, we must use it to critique players in the opposite direction. And although Chris Paul finished with 21 points and 11 assists, he did not show up until the last 10 minutes. He got bullied. He got run around. He looked tired for the majority of that game, and he looked tired from the end of the last two. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, you talk about all the teams that you cheer for typically fall apart when it comes down. And one thing I called Chris Paul, bit of tongue-in-cheek, was the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA, right? Accident waiting to happen. And what's happening right now? Exactly what I thought would happen. When it comes to heart v. heart, there's no one with a bigger heart than Giannis. And I know we were talking about Jrue Holiday, so I want to make sure we finish on him. The Bucks as a team look so, so well-rounded. They look like the rotation is perfect, and it's a complete 180 to what we were talking about with the Bucks the last few playoffs. They couldn't figure out the rotation. They didn't have the help. You look at this box score right now, that's championship team right there. And to beat a team, I mean, I don't want to gloss over this, Donnie. To beat a team who shot 55% from the field, 68% from three, 91% from the line. And you beat that team. Granted, 11 free throws, not a lot. But to beat a team playing like that, what else can you say? I mean, to figure it out, to beat that team to the punch, granted, the only glaring thing that, and it's a beautiful thing, because when you have a star player, you always want the things to be worked on to be glaring. Because then you know that they will put 100% focus. And what Giannis did at the line towards the end of that game, it's obviously something he's working on. It is a glaring mistake, as I mentioned in another tweet from last night, that a few of the best players in the NBA have. So it's something that is, one of those things that I think it's a forgotten art, a forgotten thing to work on. You bet Giannis is going to spend all offseason, what little offseason it is, working on getting that free throw percentage up. I mean, come on, guys. There's not much room for this guy to grow. And he still is going to find ways to do it. I can't say much else. Jrue Holiday, what a game to show up. I did talk about how I thought this would be the Giannis game. It certainly ended up being the Jrue Holiday game to me. And like you mentioned, there is no competition. There should be no debate. Giannis will win the finals MVP, and that's deservedly easy. So. But you'd also be silly to say Giannis will not do exactly what we know him to do. And the first thing he'll do when he wins that is praise his teammates. Because the performances that his teammates... I mean, that second and third quarter, Donnie, was not the Giannis show.
It was not.
It was the Chris Middleton show, yes. Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis, even Pat Connaughton. It was all them.
That's what it was, because that second quarter run, when you look at the box score, and I'll be honest with you, 37-21 at the end of the first, I'm looking at my buddies saying, oh, my God, like, you might as well not even burn Giannis. Might as well just save him for game six. And in a way, they did that. They had him on the bench. They gave him his rest. And then Bobby, like you said, Bobby Portis came in and said, nope. Pat Connaughton came in and said, nope. And the Bucks outscored them by 19 in the second, 43-24. And when you look at it, when you break it down, you just mentioned earlier, I want to get to the Suns, according to NBA.com, are the first team in NBA history to lose a playoff game while shooting at least 50% from the field and 60% from three in a minimum of 5 3-point attempts. That's ridiculous. And that shows you again, the impact in a way. Yeah, of course, Jrue Holiday played and played great. Giannis as well. Chris Middleton. They're probably one of the most quiet big threes in a way. But in the same time, what they do looks loud as an eye test. But on the box score, it's like, okay, sure. They had a great game. They were a point away from their highest total for a trio in the postseason and third highest as teammates all season. They had 88 points combined between the three. The Bucks scored 123. What's, I mean, 88 minus 88 divided by 123.
35 points less. I mean, yeah. Everybody else had 35 more. Over
they
about
accounted
60%.
For 72% crazy. Of the Bucks points. 72. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And they did that on the road in probably the most hostile environment. And how about the clown with the $100 bills for the counting for Giannis? Clown. No other word.
Loser. You got to appreciate how much Phoenix is trying to get in Giannis's head. And let's be real. In the free throws, they're clearly getting in Giannis's head at times in the game.
You know what I'm going to say?
Doesn't matter, though.
Have the free throws.
Exactly.
Have the free throws. Who cares, man?
At this point, that's what everybody should be saying when they talk about Giannis. And I tweeted this. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'll let you get back to it. But that is something I tweeted where – and I saw another analyst tweeted it. I think it might have been Emmanuel Acho, actually, where he's talking about Giannis had so much skill. He has so much going for him. If you want to say free throws is the issue, have your free throws. He'll take the ring. And I literally put, that is exactly what I say when I critique Giannis. And I am tired because I've had to deal with it for the last 12 years of being a basketball fan. People nitpicking when you're one of the greatest. When Steph was unanimous MVP, they were nitpicking at his defense and his closing. When Bron doing the things, they nitpick at free throws, not attacking. You got to know this when you're one of the greatest. And right now, Giannis is one of the best. And if he wins Finals MVP, hard to argue that he's not the best in the league right now. Hard to argue. Not willing to hand it to him yet. We can talk about this in the offseason podcast. But as of right now, that's how it goes. And to pick one thing and it be so obvious, like I said earlier, that's a good thing. In my opinion, that's a good thing. It gives you something to work on. And if you have a mindset of Giannis, which is clearly workhorse, he will fix it. That's where Ben Simmons needs to go watch what Giannis is doing in the offseason, because there's a glaring hole in his game. And there's a reason that he's not reaching that full potential. Obviously, Giannis is way down the road than Ben Simmons. I'm not getting crazy on
that's not quite close.
But like you said, you can have the free throws, man. You can have the free throws.
I'll take
the ring, Finals MVP.
What's scary, and I think this is going to really cement, it's going to cement Giannis, like you said, being, if he wins the Finals MVP, I'll say it. And I don't want to, that's the thing, I'm knocking on every bit of wood on my desk right now. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm saying if he wins Finals MVP, there is no debate. He is the best in the league. And that's not even close. Because for me, best in the league right now has no weight, because it can change like that. So you know what? Give it to him, because, yeah, he is going to will his team to the first championship in, what, 50 years, 45 years, whatever? Get out of here. The rise that he – I'll just say this too. If they win game six on Tuesday night, I promise you I will do a – probably 25-minute solo intro for episode 80. Just on Giannis, on his rise. But again, don't want to get ahead of myself because this series is not over. What I wanted to say, the main stat that I want to hear your reaction to, I don't even know if you knew this, the Suns outscored the Bucks in the paint for the first time in this series. Yeah. And what did we do? We went on the road. And what have people been saying all playoffs long? Series don't start until the home team loses. Well, as my late great grandfather would say, joking around about going to certain places that he didn't like, he'd say, I've been there twice, first and last. That was his joke. In this case, the Bucks needed to do it. It's their first and probably last trip to Phoenix in this playoffs is all that I can hope. That being said, game six coming up. Oh my God. If the pressure wasn't on the Bucks last night, the pressure almost is like putting their feet through concrete right now in terms of like the weight on their shoulders. It's kind of like just putting all the 45-pound plates on a back squat and it starts to bend and all the Bucks are each holding one right now. That's how I feel, because if they drop this game, like I said, I was already saying going into game five, I wasn't confident in a Bucks road win. I just wasn't. I didn't feel like it. I mean, even though they had a great game four, an exhilarating game four that I did not think could be topped. And then they topped it last night. So thank you. I was like, nah, I don't know. And I'm feeling the same way. If we lose this game, it's going to leave the most sour taste. And I would really, really, really appreciate it if we could just close it out on Tuesday and not go back to the Valley, because that freaks me out. Because there's not going to be an instance. We heard it. I mean, we read the stat earlier. The Suns are the first team in NBA history to lose a playoff game when shooting 50% from the field, 60% from three. It's not going to happen again. Or at least in back-to-back Suns games in one series. It's just not likely. So what do you see as the main, I don't know if trend is the right word, the main buzzword in game six? Ooh, what's the biggest buzzword?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think for I'll give one for either team. I think for Milwaukee, it's consistency. I don't mean to do that, but that is one thing that I've seen from them that I haven't been able to say I've also seen from Phoenix. Obviously, the first two games Phoenix won, and I don't want to gloss over that because after those two games, I was very impressed. I wasn't convinced that it was over, right? I mean, I said if they won game three, it was certainly over, and you reminded me, as you should have, if Milwaukee wins game three, it's right back to a new series. That's exactly what happened. But consistency from quarter one to quarter four. We've seen too many quarters with 10-plus point discrepancies in this series so far. And coming out of game five, Milwaukee has to understand they cannot let that happen again. They can't let Phoenix get so many open shots. They can't hope that, Chris Middleton shoots the lights out again, because how many times have we seen Chris Middleton have three consecutive knockout games? Not very often, right? I mean, I think we could probably put our money on the fact Chris Middleton may come back down to earth in game six. Obviously, as a Bucks fan, you hope not. But Jrue Holiday has barely put together two fantastic games. Obviously, he's had two in this series, and he closed out Atlanta basically on his own. I mean, that was an unbelievable game. But consistency for Milwaukee. I think if they can be close at halftime, it's theirs. I mean, I really do think so. And I said earlier, obviously, I think it's over, and I'm not going to waver from that in my belief and my prediction. But, I mean, the buzzword for Phoenix, I mean, you got to be resilient. I mean, I'll use the word resilient, because in that game in Milwaukee with, I mean, let's be honest, the whole city is going to be out to cheer that on. The whole city. I mean, we've seen the reaction of teams when they win a championship on their home court. We've seen it countless times. The Suns have to know the Bucks are going to come out hot and try and knock them out in the first round. They're going to try and do a cold knockout like a boxing fight. They're going to hopefully not let Phoenix get warm, and then they're just going to let the crowd and their slow pace run them off. The Suns have to understand they played great in game five and lost, but so did Milwaukee. Milwaukee, like you said, 1 point off the most a trio's ever had. The Suns cannot have their head down, because I will reiterate, I believe Milwaukee wins game six. My official prediction I will give as we close, we always do. But if the Suns somehow scrap this game out, somehow, you just can't see them losing a game seven. I understand Milwaukee came and took a game seven off Brooklyn. Hard to believe you can do that in an NBA Finals. I mean, what a game that would be. I don't see it happening. But like you said, game five, I said the pressure's on Phoenix. They got to make adjustments. You were saying it's on Milwaukee. I thought it was on Phoenix. Right now, pressure's on Phoenix again. I mean, your back's against the wall. You can't say anything else. Obviously, Milwaukee's got the plates. But if Milwaukee's got the plates, Phoenix has the house on them right now. And if they have one bad quarter, they're getting smushed like, an old Looney Tunes cartoon. So at this point, those are my two words: consistency for Milwaukee, resilient for Phoenix. That's what I want to see in game six.
I like it. Since you used consistency for Milwaukee, I'm going to change it up and just say, how do I say it? Almost like, this is going to sound silly. Roar. You got to roar, man. You got to want this game, because Phoenix is going to be literally scratching and clawing like an annoying little cousin playing basketball at Easter. I can't even describe it any better. It's going to be so annoying to play this game against them. Jay Crowder is going to be a pest. Campaign is going to be like a little spider that you can't kill in your room. Chris Paul is going to be crying all night with the refs, and so is Devin Booker. But it's going to be growl for Milwaukee, or roar, either of those. Just a kind of like an onomatopoeia. Just bang, smack, do whatever you can to get an edge in this game, because it's going to be literally balls to the wall. This is it. It's going to be treated like a game seven. And then when they get to a game seven, if they do, which I hope they don't, these guys are going to be gassed. I mean, I can't even imagine the mental energy and just emotionally how these guys are probably feeling right now. It's got to be tough. For the Suns, I'm going to say, what was your word for the Suns?
Resilient.
Resilient. Man, you have some good words, Danny.
Thank you, brother.
You have some good words. Resilient. I'm going to say it's kind of like a step back from yours. Just strong. You got to be strong in all facets of this game. If there's any holes in Phoenix's approach or Phoenix's game plan, it's over. Because out of nowhere, I've never thought I would say this in the last 3 years, the Bucks have made adjustments? What? The Bucks are making adjustments every quarter of this series. They did it in game two like we could not have even imagined. That's the exact what the Bucks did in game two last night was exactly what you think when you when your team's losing and you picture that comeback, right? Whether it's a 28-0 lead in the after the first quarter in football, maybe 2-0 in soccer at halftime, or in this case, down 17 after the first, 16. You think, what would it look like if we did come back and ultimately tie or get the lead? That's what that looked like. Whatever you imagine, I'm sure that's exactly what it was last night. So those are my two words. Prediction, Giannis's left hand, Giannis's right hand is going to get a lot heavier after tomorrow night, and his arms might be a little bit more sore. I'm sorry, Tuesday night. He's going to be carrying a pretty hefty trophy in that really stupid-looking Louis Vuitton trophy case. I'll say it. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's no need for that. But, okay, cool. The Bucks are going to win the NBA Finals. They're going to do it. And I've never, ever felt this excited about one of my teams. It's different, I think, honestly, and this is sad. I don't know what age it was for you, Danny, but you remember growing up when if one of your teams was in a finals or in a championship and they'd win it, you felt like the entire world was just revolving around that. And you had that like that juice and that buzz as a kid. When did that wear off for you? Let me ask you that first off.
Well, first off, to answer your question, I never really experienced too many teams that I was supporting winning championships. But if you even think about when you're a kid and you win a championship, like a recreational league or something like that, doesn't wear off for a while. Like when you first start experiencing wins, which I hate to say this, I don't mean to be a jerk, but I mean, come on, have your teams experienced championship wins in a very long time as a supporter?
Well, I'll say I'm a very casual Yankees fan. When they won the World Series in 09, I fell asleep during game six. So I was in fourth grade. So no, I can't even say that I experienced that. And the Lakers, I would say, is the next one because I loved Kobe. When they won in 2010, that's the closest I'll ever get. I've ever gotten, because we know the Cowboys. We know that, you know, that's a joke. We know the Bucks haven't been prominent since, well, I guess starting back in like 1819. So yeah, this is really the first time. I don't know how to act. I'm going to buy out the Fanatics team store if we win the finals Tuesday night. I told my mom, I'm like, we're going to have to buy everything because I'll save it for hopefully the eventual tangent I'll go on. If the Bucks win the finals Tuesday night, I'll save that for that episode. But, yeah, I don't – score for game six. I'm going to say 116-111. 116-111. The Bucks take it. Giannis has given the NBA Finals MVP. He, like you said, in his I can't wait for that interview with Malika Andrews. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait. I hope it comes. I'm trying to be as conservative as I can, but I'm really trying to also just realize how cool this is for him. So I'm going to say Bucks and six. Shout out to Brandon Jennings for starting that Bucks and six culture back when it was Brandon Jennings, Monte Ellis, Larry Sanders, Ersan Ilyasova, Brandon Knight. I mean, just a grimy, gritty team that was swept. And I believe LeBron's first year as a member of the Heat. Yeah, in the first round. Yep, the white hot series. Yeah, it was bad. So, Bucks and six. There's no other way to put it. Bucks and six.
Well, first off, I want to commend you for giving a score. It's always intimidating for me to actually give a score. I'd much rather just give a margin of victory. But I do find it great, right, how you had a little nugget there that I think I'll remember, right? Because one player that I had to watch just torment me as a fan for a few years in Steph's early years was Monte Ellis. So it is interesting, right, that Monte Ellis kind of began the run in Golden State, and now him and Brandon Jennings beginning the run in Milwaukee. I'm with you. I think Bucks and six. You texted it to me after game three. I started to feel the wave come over me. It just seemed like Giannis was getting ahead of steam. The Bucks were starting to figure it out. I really, truthfully, honest to God, after this rant of a podcast we've been going on praising the Bucks, hope that the Suns don't somehow steal game six, because we're going to sound so silly. But I have ultimate conviction in the fact that I think Giannis is going to go out, give 100% in this game. He is not one to think, well, let's slow down in case there's a game seven. He's not that guy. He's going to give 110% minute one to minute 48. I predict he sets a series high in minutes, Donnie. That is my prediction in this game. I will not give you a score prediction, but I think he will play all but maybe 2 minutes until they take him out. My prediction is at about a minute and 40 seconds because I think they're going to be up big. I really do think Milwaukee is going to put the foot down. I think they're going to have another big second quarter, maybe a bigger third quarter. And I predict by the end of the third quarter, they're up by 15. I really do. I think that crowd's going to be popping. I think the guys are going to be ready to close it out. I think Giannis is going to want to be able to smell the roses, come out of the game at the end. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, right? Where they come out, you know they're going to win and they're jumping on the sideline, you know, like the Lakers last season. Yeah, I think the Bucks get it done. I really do. And I'm excited to have the conversation that we were forced to have after last year, talking about how much does this title mean and are there any asterisks? Because I will say the same thing this year as I said last year. There are no asterisks. Zero. Winning a championship is winning a championship. And I believe Tuesday night, the Bucks will win the championship.
Oh, God. Can I volunteer you to owe me a drink or some wings or something if the Bucks win the finals?
Donnie, I will say right now, if the Bucks win, as soon as we see each other again, which it's been a while, man. First of all, it's been a while. I miss you,
man.
It's
been too long.
I miss hanging out with you. It's crazy.
I need a good breezy hug. I need a good conversation. I need a little I just need a laugh, man. I need an in-person Danny Belsito laugh session because we have plenty of those.
We've had plenty. I will say right now, wings are expensive, and I like myself a beverage. So we got to clink something, whether it's Sprite, cheer wine, something of a little bit older, you know, variety. Anyway, we will toast something to the Bucks winning the championship. It is crazy how much, I just want to say, we are doing what MMA fans talk about, the kiss of death, right now, talking so much about the championship. It just seems as though something may come back to bite us. I still don't believe it will, but regardless, if the Bucks win a championship, whether it comes game six or game seven, we will clink something. However, if they somehow fall apart and lose the series, Donnie, knock on wood, I'm assuming you are not going to want any sort of celebratory drink on behalf of the Suns or Chris Paul.
I'll pass.
Yeah, I figured. But no, I agree. After Tuesday night, I believe we will probably be on Instagram Live celebrating a victory for your boy Giannis and your Bucks.
Me too.
That's what I think is going to happen. I really do believe it. Conviction and all.
I like it a lot. I have two things to close on because I want to avoid that kiss of death. Because now you're freaking me out. Two noteworthy things that I have to mention. One, Kevin Love and Bradley Beal will not be participating in the Olympics. And the replacements are Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee. Your thoughts, go.
If I'm Trae Young right now, I'm starting a documentary just like I'm sure Isaiah Thomas is right now. Did you see him post that thing? I had the qualifications.
I fit the criteria.
Like, that's insane. Ridiculous. Guys, JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson, what? They just needed bigs. Bradley Beal left. Get Trae Young. What is going on? Right now, you know what's my real response to that? Sorry, before I let it get to you.
Go ahead.
I'm putting my money on Nigeria to win right now. This is ridiculous.
Stop.
This is ridiculous, Donnie. It's ridiculous.
Pause.
But come on, what's going on? Where's Trae Young?
I'm going to say my two replacements would have been Trae Young and Christian Wood. I think that's ridiculous. They didn't have Christian Wood. He was amazing this year for the Rockets. I do like that JaVale McGee is there because if you really want to sit down and like pinpoint certain NBA players in the last 10, 15 years of just weird careers, but also very lucky, like the fact that he was so embarrassed in so many of those Shaq in a Fool moments, it's like, how is this guy still in the league? But he's good.
And he's got rings, baby.
Yeah, he's got a very heavy hand. If you guys understand that, I hope you do. Rings, easy. And with Trae Young, I mean, I don't get that. I get that they have Damian Lillard. They have Chris Paul. And I'm sorry, not Chris Paul coming. They have Devin Booker coming. They have Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday. But Trae Young was ridiculous this year. I would have at least thought about Julius Randle instead of JaVale McGee. That's another one I would have had in there. But I digress. Team USA is going to win gold. I don't want to hear the Nigeria thing. I love their social media team because they're ridiculous, but stop it. Secondly, have you gotten to watch Space Jam, A New Legacy yet?
I watched it today.
Well, give me your honest opinion, but before you give it to me as a 16-year-old instead of a 24-year-old or a 12-year-old because that's what this movie was made for. Let's be real.
First of all, I'm glad you said that, okay? Because before I give you my 12-year-old Danny review, I had to stop myself. because when we watched, you know, some Mighty Ducks and Like Mike when we were young kids, we weren't watching as 24, 21 year old in Space Jam. I mean, obviously that came out, you know, obviously before your time, but we watched it as young people regardless. I hate that people are doing this, that they're like treating it like he's supposed to be some Grammy actor. I don't understand. Like, or Grammy, Jesus, Oscars actor. God bless. Probably has a better chance of being a Grammys recording artist than he does Oscar. But my 12-year-old response is, man, that was so cool. Man, how awesome was it, man? They went down to the court. You saw all of the different movie characters in the crowd. It was amazing. You saw The Mask, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter. I mean, they brought everything in. In reality, even as a 24, almost 25-year-old Danny,
that was my reaction.
I was impressed. I'm watching this. I'm like, listen, LeBron was stiff, to say the least, with his acting. But what can you expect? There were some jabs in there, right? I'm shorter than Kevin Hart, had me rolling on the ground. There were some points where you're like, okay, this is stiff, but it's the Looney Tunes. Sit there and enjoy it like a kid. And as I started to feel that throughout the movie and they got away from the live action, LeBron trying to fake be a dad with clearly the fake family, which I thought was hilarious. Like, you could have subbed those guys out for Bronny and Bryce and you know, what's his little daughter's name? Jury. Oh my God. Zuri. They could have had the normal
family. They should have, honestly.
I mean, come on. It was so awkward. So awkward. Dom and Darius. Like, for those who haven't watched, it's hilariously awkward at the beginning. LeBron is so stiff. LeBron haters will enjoy that so much. Like the Skip Baylesses of the world. LeBron's is way worse.
They're going to leave with that on Monday morning.
Because you're 70 years old watching this now, like all bitter and angry. I thought it was great. Honestly, as it went, I was more and more impressed, Donnie. I think that's one of those movies where we may have to crack open a bottle of Yellowtail and watch that one night. I think we will enjoy it 10 times more.
I'm not against that.
I think that's one of those movies where, God bless him, they put, I mean, probably $1 billion into that. The amount of worlds they had, the connections, it was so cool. Can we talk about Ernie Johnson stealing the show?
Oh my gosh. When I heard his voice, I'm like, don't tell me they got Ernie. And I see him sitting there. That made my day.
And can we talk about, honestly, and then I'll be done with that. I know we got to close, but I was a little bit interested in how they were going to bring it. You know, when you knew there was going to be the professional players, obviously, like Diana Taurasi, Clay, AD, the other woman. How do you pronounce her name? Her first name?
It's Agumake, but
Agumake is the last name. NECA. There you go, NECA.
NECA Agumake, yeah.
All those people that they had, Dame, man, the characters were perfect. I mean, whoever wrote that in, Dame time as Kronos was amazing. AD is the brow, the bird. People who haven't watched this yet are going to be so mad at us, but whatever. You should have watched it.
We can't give up the spoiler that happens at the end.
No, but I mean, Clay as Wet Fire, I mean, amazing. I mean, the characters were amazing. It was beautiful to watch. The crowd of all the stars, it was so good. For anybody who's on the fence about watching, I mean, and I saw some sketchy reviews. I mean, I saw somebody called the worst movie of all time.
Well, it's one of the lowest rated movies on IMDb history.
Of course it is, because LeBron is one of the most hated athletes of all time, Donnie. Let's be honest. This is like if, you know, Draymond Green made a movie or something, or made a rap.
Relax.
No, I mean, imagine Draymond did like a rap with Lillard. Like, people like Lillard so much more. Of course they're gonna go at him. No, it's crazy.
Who else would have been the guy to do this movie? I mean, it would.
Space Jam 2?
Yeah, I'm saying, like,
there's no other option.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So why even like be upset about it? I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. I loved it as more as I watched. And yes, I can't wait to really watch it again. I'm telling you, a bottle of Merlot and a chill session watching that movie, I don't think there'd be much better. I really don't.
That sounds like a nice Friday night.
Let's
do it. I'm not against it.
And that'll be what my our clink to the Bucks winning a championship. We'll be watching Space Jam 2.
Why did you bring it up again? We're really jinxing this.
Well, it's not me. I mean, it's not my team, Donnie. You should be the one who's stopping me from bringing it up right now.
I'm trying, but I can't help it. I'm so close.
It's good. We'll see.
It was good, man. I love Space Jam. I will admit, actually, I had to rewatch it back during like peak COVID, like the original Space Jam, just like to remind myself of it, because I'd only seen bits and pieces of it until, and then I watched it when I was 20 years old. And again, I watched it and I'm like, this is kind of cheesy. But then I'm like, wait a second, this is for kids. And the same thing for this one. Now that like social media is just so prevalent in everyone's lives now, and you're reading Twitter and it's like, oh, like this movie's cool, whatever. And then it's like, oh, LeBron sucks. He's worse as an actor than he is a player. I'm like, all right, this is dumb. Don Cheadle in there was great. He's a great actor. I mean, everyone knows that. I loved when they had all the worlds and when, you know, Game of Thrones and when LeBron was, and they were doing like the Men in Black. And it was just, it was so good. It was so good. I loved when Bugs Bunny, when they were in the spaceship and assembling the team. Relax. This isn't the Miami Heat. Oh my God.
There were so many jabs in there.
I love how I called him Cleveland.
Yes. There needed to be those jabs in there.
Yeah. It
was beautiful. You came back from 3-1. Also, I don't want to break this because this was hilarious. Can we talk about the Michael Jordan scene?
Oh, dude, I'm so mad you mentioned that because
I knew from the start. As soon as they did it, I'm like, this is an ode. It's going to be Michael B for sure. I don't want to keep saying these things for the people who haven't watched yet, but man, please watch. It's hilarious. Tongue in cheek, self-deprecating jokes. I mean, it was everything you expected it to be. It really was. Obviously, did you expect it? If you expected Denzel Washington quality acting, you're just stupid.
You're looking for the wrong movie.
And what annoys me, right, is you would never say this, like, what? Denzel Washington has a whack jump shot. Yeah, it's not what he does. Stop doing exactly. that. It's so annoying. Like, yes. They're acting like Michael A. Jordan, ha, 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 for those who've seen it, you'll get it, acts like Michael B. Jordan. No, Michael Jordan couldn't go be Killmonger, guys. Stop acting like he was some freaking nominated actor. God bless
Michael Jordan and Creed and see what happens.
Yeah, right. It was great.
Last thing I'll say, I loved when he was in the car with him and he was in Toon World. And he said, you watch my games? And he said, of course, we have TNT. And he had the stick of dynamite. I'm like, okay, that was one of my favorite parts. Smiles all around, man. The Bucks are a win away. Space Jam 2 was great. Team USA hopefully can, I don't know, win gold. Is that asking too much? I hope.
I got to be honest, Donnie. I'm watching like tennis in the Olympics, Simone Biles. Some of the track run. You think I'm watching the basketball games in the Olympics? I watch basketball all year long.
I have to mention it.
I'm going to be watching trampoline more than I watch USA playing against freaking Czechoslovakia. Like, I've got zero interest in that.
That's fair.
We'll do a live stream for the, what is it called?
The
swimming? No. What is the swimming where they do it together? Synchronized swimming. If there's synchronized trampoline, we'll do a kicking at IG live for that before we do it for the gold medal game in basketball. I've got no interest in that. And I'm a basketball diehard. I've got no interest in that, Donnie. I'm being honest. I'll watch ping pong. I'll watch all that stuff. It's the Olympics.
Oh, also, if the Bucks win this finals, can we get Giannis's next shoe in all gold for next year, please?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The Freak 3 and all of the protros that PJ Tucker wears.
And Devin Booker.
And well, okay, but let's be honest. Only one of these guys is going to walk with gold shoes, and it might be PJ Tucker. Anyways, that's going to do it for episode 79. Sorry if we rambled, but we're just so excited. We love hoops, and the next episode might be even longer than this one. So stay tuned. That's Danny B. This is Donnie C. signing off. Kicking It with Danny and Donnie is in the books. Peace out.
Peace.